You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
November the 4th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. You push live, you join us in studio. Glad to have you. Or if you can't watch us now, you can go later and pull up the Rumbles and do it the same way. Now, I remind you, when you go to that page, you may see two listings. One, the letter L in a color orange box of some type. And you see me behind the microphone and the other box. They're both my channels. I don't know why it's been done that way. Either one works. It'll take you to our page. Secondly, if you miss any audio portion of this program, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull the audio up. And again, you can subscribe to either for free and share with friends and family. Please do so. And our program is growing because of you, and I thank you for that. All right, you've been waiting for this. Now, whether or not this is true, I'm going to tell you right now, this is news and commentary. I add comments, facts and comments, but this story I've got here in front of me, this very first one, I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to report it the way it's written, okay? So here we go. According to a report, who's the report, does it say? Three sources familiar with the story. In a statement to somebody, maybe Breitbart, I guess it was, here's what they're saying. Former President Donald Trump is considering announcing as a presidential 2024 candidate November 14. November 14, that'd be 6 days after the midterm. By then, we should have all the votes tallied, and we've all said that probably if he's going to do it, it will be after the midterm elections. If this report is right, according to a Trump spokesman, their answer is not commenting on the never-ending media speculation and rumors. As President Trump has said, Americans should go vote up and down the ballot for Republicans. He'll continue that message tomorrow night in Pennsylvania. Well, he's also, of course, just was in Sioux City, Iowa, holding a Save America rally, speaking in support of Hawkeye State Republicans, including Senator Chuck Grassley and Governor Kim Reynolds. As of late October, if you're looking at the surveys, Grassley holds a double-digit lead over his Democrat challenger, and in the gubernatorial race, so does the Republican Governor Reynolds. That's good. Now, going to New York State. And my guest of the last hour, John LaBoutière. If you missed that interview with John, for that reason alone, I suggest you go back and pull that program and listen to it. His view of what's going to happen in New York State does not coincide with some of the stats and reports we've been getting. But here we have New York Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul accusing her challenger, Congressman Lee Zeldin, of, quote, using crime concerns to cynically attack her. What? What? Oh, yeah, let me read this. She said, we're dealing with people's feelings here, and I understand that. I'm a mother. You're hardwired to care about your children and your family safety, so voters need to know we have a plan. We're working on this. How long have you been in office? Well, several months since Cuomo had to walk out, but crime is still crazy in New York City. Let me tell you this. If you go to New York City, do not stand close to the rail track. Keep your distance until your train comes to a halt. That's my advice. And then we got this story. The fate of that former Chinese leader, Hu Jintao, I told you about and I mentioned on my Facebook page a couple weekends ago. They were having the National Party Congress. He was seated next to his successor, Premier Xi. He was immediately to his left. And security guards kind of came up, tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned, and they were escorting him out. He leaned over and said something to the premier. We haven't heard what, and the premier just kind of looked away smugly and let it go. Here's the point. This 79-year-old in poor health has not been seen in public since he was escorted out. You want to guess what happened? By the way, maybe he got to talking to some doctors over there that got some training in Canada. There's a document for doctors in Canada suggests you should bring up the topic of euthanasia with your patients from time to time. We're going to get into that in more detail coming up. Oh, and here's good news. Those who are all excited about migration, they want to say, look at this, 1.5 million legal migrants have signed up to vote, and they signed up for Democrats. Okay, if they're here legally, they are entitled to vote. Use your vote.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What ails America today is not just an accident. It's not Joe Biden's bad luck that he happened to be in office when we have 13% inflation or gas at $5 or even $6 a gallon in some states. The sense of decline most Americans have is, again, not an accident. It's not unintentional. It's decline by design.
That is a very important statement from Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, pointing out that the reason we're in this situation is not an accident. It was planned. And you can really look at, you don't even have to look at the writing on the wall. It's right in your face. The high oil prices we have and everything, as he said, not really Biden's fault. It was all planned by design anyway. And that happened when he shut down the Keystone Pipeline, 830,000 barrels of oil a day, which we were not going to get. When he basically started shutting down oil and gas leases, which we discussed in the last hour. And when he continued to say we're going to get rid of fossil fuel. And we're going to even his energy czar saying, I'm sure that we'll have everybody using electric vehicles by 2035. Riddle me this. How are you going to generate that electricity for that much without putting our power grid in the dark? Or then again, could that be by design? There are some nefarious minds out there that are plotting the demise of our nation, and they are among us. Now, you listen to the speech from Joe Biden the other day that if you don't vote Democrat, you're voting to destroy democracy. Only the Democrats can hold democracy and hold Statue of Liberty high. Many of them would have blown that flame out and toppled that statue long ago. Senator Cotton has a book out now titled Only the Strong, Reversing the Left's Plot to Sabotage American Power. I think that title says everything. And as he was just pointing out, this what is happening to us right now is strictly by design. They knew if we do this, this happens, and then this, and then this. It didn't just, well, what would happen if we did that? They already knew. It's like the attorney or that goes into the court and is going to ask someone a question. The attorney, if he or she has done the job properly, they already know what the answer is going to be. They want the jury to hear the answer. And then they're ready with a follow-up question that will point out the inaccuracy or whatever they're trying to prove. When Biden got into office and he was declared the winner before the inauguration, I really, as much as I would have loved to have been a fly in the Clinton headquarters the night she had to call Donald Trump and, quote, okay, you won. Congratulations. And then tomorrow say, well, no, you know, we got cheated. We got cheated. And she's denied it ever since. Because the Electoral College was used instead of the popular vote, as if all of her popular numbers, and she did have numbers higher than Trump, but many came out of California, and how many of them were legal votes to begin with? And then she wants to get rid of the Electoral College that's built inside our Constitution. You tell me who's trying to sabotage America. That should say it right there. But then again, let's go back to what Joe Biden said the other day as he began to link this MAGA attack upon our country and to blame it on Trump and anyone that voted for him or might be thinking, and any conservative whatsoever. If you're not liberal, you're an enemy. In other words, you're not wearing our uniform, you're the enemy. And he brought to bear the attack on Paul Pelosi and how the attacker on Pelosi was yelling out something. You remember?
Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Those are the very same words used by the mob when they stormed the United States Capitol on January the 6th, when they broke windows, kicked in the doors, brutally attacked law enforcement, roamed the corridors hunting for officials, and erected gallows to hang the former Vice President Mike Pence. It was an enraged mob that had been whipped up into a frenzy by a president repeating over and over again the big lie that the election of 2020 had been stolen. It's a lie that fueled the dangerous rise in political violence and voter intimidation over the past 2 years.
All right, he's entitled to say that. But I have a question. Sir, may I ask a question? What about the big lie of the Russian collusion? Do you think that might have fueled some anger and distrust among the other party, or those who might have been in the middle up until that story became evident that it was true? What about the lie that was perpetuated and blocked by big tech along with the state-controlled media when the Hunter Biden laptop came to surface? The FBI had that laptop for a year, for a year. The New York Post got it in time to release it about 8 weeks or so before the election. But immediately big tech started shutting off all of their access to their own Facebook, their own Twitter account, so they couldn't promote their own story that they had in the paper. And NPR was asked, and you also didn't carry, oh, we don't carry fiction. We only deal with facts. Facts, I guess, that they got through COVID when that came along, that if you get the shot, you won't have to wear the mask. If you get the shot, you will stop the transmission. And now the drug companies have said, no, we knew it was not going to stop spreading the disease. And they're pushing the shots again, as you well know. So which big lie are you talking about? Oh, you just want to deal with the lie that the election was stolen. Well, you want to know why many folks still have that belief and question it? I've also said, let's try to move past it. Let's look forward. And for that extent, many states have done that. They've redone their election laws. They're re-looking at everything. They took dead people off the roll, thank God. They're not going to vote anymore. As somebody said, I found out my dad the other day voted for Joe Biden. And I looked at her and said, really? And she said, yes, but I know that if he had been alive, he would not have voted that way. Okay, I got it. You had me hook, line, and sinker. But Tom Cotton says the issue we're facing right now is not just that things have just been put in play, but the progressives are pushing and ramping it up at every opportunity.
The progressive left, going back 100 years, is at best ambivalent about America. Many are openly critical or even hostile to America, but they're all, of course, hostile to the sources of American power, a strong military, a strong, prosperous, growing economy, American energy production and independence, sovereign borders and sovereign freedom of action in the world, standing up for friends and standing up against adversaries like China.
Yeah, and that's true. They want to look at, our military. And the first thing Obama did when he was elected, you remember when he went on his international tour? The apologetic tour. Going around to all these countries and saying, you know, we probably behaved badly in the past. We're sorry about that. An apology everywhere he went. That didn't sit well with Americans. Even Democrats didn't like it. Same thing now that many Democrats don't like the way this Democrat Party has been hijacked by the far left. I had this discussion with a guy last night, and we were talking, and he made the point. He said, you know, JFK would not be accepted in today's Democrat Party. Now, that's true. And the speech he made, that's not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's 180 degrees for what they're pushing now. You don't have to do anything for your country. Your country's going to do everything for you. Just sit back. We'll send you checks. You don't have to work. We have 6.5 to 7 million unfilled jobs in this nation. We got the people to do it, but they don't want to work. They don't want to work. And if you're going to send them a check all the time and help it out, then they're not going to work. Now, I'll be honest with you. You come in here and say, Larry, I'm going to give you $100 million to stop your program and just go off and do what you want. Okay. I'm gone. Goodbye. I'll sell out. But Tom Cotton has nailed it. He said that they have historically been at least ambivalent about America, and many are openly critical and even hostile. Don't like our flag. We don't like our anthem and everything else. And I wonder how much Griner, the NBA female player, would like to get out of Russia and hear the American anthem again. I just wonder. But aside from that, he also pointed out where some of it started, Tom Cotton.
See, it's starting with Woodrow Wilson, the first president to openly repudiate our founding, you know, openly critical of the Declaration and the Constitution in a way that no president would be today, on down through the ages, that every time the progressive Democrat takes the White House, they're pursuing policies that undermine the sources of American power, and it's only gotten worse with Bill Clinton and especially Barack Obama, the most ideological man to be president since Wilson and Barack Obama's understudy, Joe Biden.
Perfect point. Now, here's something else to keep in mind. Woodrow Wilson was, of course, our 28th president, serving from 1913 to 21. He is best known as being the leader of the progressive movement, but it was not the progressive movement you know today. It started after a policy of neutrality, the outbreak of World War I, that he led America into war, quote, to make the world safe for democracy. That was his viewpoint. And that was considered maybe progressive at that point. And then later he ended up pushing his 14-point plan that he wanted to have put into effect, that basically he was going to take care of everything, and those 14 points would resolve everything the U.S. was facing. That accept almost any compromise over the 14 points as long as the treaty provided the League of Nations, which later became the U.N. He also was looked at establishing, that he did establish, the Federal Reserve, signed a major antitrust law, initiated the modern income tax, led the nation to victory in World War I. Okay, we'll give him credit for all that. Do you think he's getting credit now from the progressive left? Oh, you're not up to speed on it, are you? The progressive left has made a point. The Vox publication, which is a left-leaning, left-entrenched, left-drenching publication, says Woodrow Wilson was extremely racist. And The Atlantic did a piece on how he had a shameful side to his legacy. He was a racist. I wonder what he would have said if he'd been called that then, but nobody's going to do that. But now the woke culture would do it. In fact, they talk about, you know, removing his name like from others, but they still point to him as somebody they hold as a good progressive. That gets very delicate, doesn't it? If you're going to call somebody a progressive, and yet at the same time you're going to consider that they were a racist. But, of course, now in today's woke world, it's what they decide today, and it might change tomorrow. Some say he was a great president. He did do a lot of things. He talked about a new freedom, which did stress individualism and states' rights, but in the bottom line, he was more liberal in his viewpoints, and he considered himself to be progressive. He was with the Democrat Party. Does that give you, again, a backdrop of what Senator Cotton was saying as to how they view our nation and have? Coming up, Joe Rogan on what's going to happen on Election Day.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The red wave that's coming is going to be like the elevator doors opening up in The Shining. That's what I think. I think people are just like, what the f*** are you saying? They're making Republicans.
I don't know how they're doing it. I had a family member who's a boomer and a diehard liberal, and they told me when I was home this summer that they would vote for DeSantis. And I'm like, how did you lose this person?
Yeah.
How did you lose this person? This is a like, go to the ballot and vote blue no matter what. And you've lost even the boomers.
Yeah, we are always going to go to the poll and vote blue, but now suddenly... That was a clip from Joe Rogan and his program. He is, of course, the host of the Joe Rogan Experience. And he said, it's just really strange. This is all taking place. And they're taking Democrats and turning them red. And he added to that, by the way. He said, it's real strange to just openly accept all this stuff and buy that. Transgender acceptance and teachings to our kids and so forth. To accept it without any pushback. His guest was saying she believes there are a lot of people who buy into the transgender movement. They do it to signal members of the elites, hey, look at us, we're part of the elite group, you know. We may not be transgendered, we may not do it ourselves, but we're all about transgendering children, even if they're too young to even make a decision about what they want for dinner or what to wear to school that day. But they want to take their breast off and start puberty-blocking drugs or otherwise basically destroy their body. But Rogan said the problem is there are a lot of people afraid to voice an opinion against it. He said they're not afraid of voting about it because they can do it behind the polls, basically, and then on the paper, the ballot, no one knows it. Actually what they did, he said, but there's so many that are afraid of reprisal. If they dare speak out, they know they're going to be attacked. And Democrats are blaming each other right now because they see things are coming undone for them. Now, my guest in the last hour, John LeBoutier, says, I don't really think it's going to be a red wave. The latest numbers from 538 don't indicate a major red wave, maybe a one or two vote swing for the Senate. That's not going to be really a, you know, a clear, definitive decision, a mandate, let me put it that way. And even winning the number of seats in the House, they will hold both houses, but would you consider it a mandate? And it will basically block anything that Biden tries to do going forward, which to that extent would be great if we control. If we don't, you look for Democrats, and keep in mind, Republicans won't take office until after January. So who knows what Democrats will try to shove through in their closing months of being in office. And even California Governor Gavin Newsom is warning fellow Democrats, and I'm quoting him, a red wave is coming next Tuesday. He said Democrats are getting, quote, crushed on the narrative. He didn't suggest any issues with Democrat party policies on economy, crime, or the border, which are very important, if not the three most important to voters. But he said, we're just getting crushed on the narrative. Well, what narrative do you want? Oh, I know, Roe v. Wade and transgender and that kind of stuff. No, that's not playing with the public. But if Gavin Newsom, who hopes to replace Biden, is saying there will be a red wave because we're not doing enough to compete with Republicans on messaging, he's basically echoing the words of James Carville, former advisor to President Clinton, saying they're all looking to the NPR elites and just saying, with their nose in the air, that we know what's best for the party. He said they don't have an idea. Now, here's something that's going to hit them. The word is coming out, whether it has not been substantiated by anyone that apparently could do so. But watch what happens November 14. Former President Trump is suggesting, according to some sources, November 14, 16 days after the election, he will announce he is running for 2024. We'll see if that happens. It may or may not. Coming up, though, I want to go through over some of the things that CNN put together by different analysts to what's happening in America now. Very interesting.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
My thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I remind you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, just one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to our page. You're going to see two postings, one with just my initial and one with a picture of me behind the microphone. Either one will get you to our page because I own both of them. I don't know why it was set up like that, but either one will work for you. Those of you who cannot watch now, you can always go later and pull up some of the programs. I've noticed that many of you are doing that. I don't know, yesterday when I was benching it, we had at that time live watching about 40 and it jumped to 120. So I appreciate you doing it and sharing with others. You can subscribe. We'll send it to you. All right, I want to share something with you that came from CNN, okay? They call it, the editor's note says, this roundup is part of the CNN, well, they didn't say that. I get stuck sometimes. This roundup is part of the CNN opinion series, America's Future Starts Now. in which people share how they've been affected by the biggest issues facing the nation. And these experts offer their proposed solutions. So here are some of them. And they point out that there are many problems concerning the public schools, culture wars that have found their way in the classroom, libraries, and school board meetings. So they gather the opinions of various experts in this field of education for some of their views. I want to share some of these with you. You don't have to agree with them. You might agree with some. You might say, well, they're partly right, but not totally, or they're Looney Tune. One of them comes from Sean Harper, who is a strong liberal, and this cut off exactly what he does. But what he's pointing out, that conservatives reject any mention of race in the classroom. Oh, here it is. He's a professor of the Rosier School of Education and Marshall School of Business, University of Southern California. Okay. Bottom line, he says, conservatives reject any mention of race in the classroom. We must counter by teaching truth. I don't reject mention of race in the classroom. I consider myself a conservative. It's the context you're putting into it and how you're using it. What is your purpose? That's the bottom line. Glenn Youngkin, he points out, or Terry McAuliffe, I should say, lost his reelection campaign because his Republican opponent, Youngkin, repeatedly declared that if McAuliffe is reelected, it would lead to widespread teaching of critical race theory in school, and said that, simply put, attacking critical race theory helped the now governor of Virginia win. And then he goes on to say, critical race theory is a set of concepts seeking to explain the structural underpinnings of inequity and racism in the U.S. And then adds, but the term has been attacked by critics as unfairly pinning blame on white Americans for some of society's biggest lies and ills. I thought it said lies, but ills. And it said, classroom discussion about race and what I like to call truth teaching haven't been as much of a talking point as they were a year ago. Critical race theory isn't being debated as much this year as it had been previously. He said it doesn't have to be, because conservatives already succumbed and succeeded, I should say, in banishing talk about racism from the classroom. Racism is different than teaching and talking about race, in my opinion. But again, it's in how you're going to teach it. If you're going to make an omelet, you're going to have to break an egg, they say, right? But in this case, the way they've been doing it, they're claiming there's no way we can teach and discuss race if we don't point out that somebody is to blame. And yet at the same time, they want to tell you, we're not trying to make kids who are not black feel guilty. Well, it's not just the whites have been feeling that way for that. How about these Asian students trying to get into Harvard? And they were being denied, even though their grades were higher than many of the blacks who were admitted. And I don't, racial discrimination is racial discrimination. And the way you stop racial discrimination is you stop it, period. But despite their grades, only 6.5% of the Asian students were getting in. Black students were able to get in at 55%+ if their grades were close to the Asian count. It's trying to do it on based on color. That doesn't seem right, does it? Then they quote a woman identifying herself as a middle school studies teacher in New Hampshire, said she's an avid supporter of public education, teaching for more than 20 years. And she said, my greatest joy is participating in a democratic institution that is for everyone. And I stand for all my students by committing myself to perpetual learning and growth. That sounds good. Sounds like a teacher that is really on target with helping the students learn, not indoctrinate. But don't rush down that hallway just yet. Because she said, I'm here to hold space for all my students, regardless of their identity, political positions, or other affiliations. Sounds again good. To do this, I must rigorously and regularly examine my biases, consider what and whom I'm centering and why. Okay. But then she said, it was disheartening to see laws like House Bill 2 in New Hampshire. Said it's a disrespect and lack of trust it communicates to hundreds of honorable educators I know, and their work cannot be overstated. She said it was known as a right to freedom from discrimination in public workplaces and education bill, but it was written with a mistaken idea that discrimination is somehow endorsed or practiced in public spaces and classrooms. It is. It is in some. And there are young teachers coming out of college now that they have to go to courses on critical race theory and discrimination. And it starts when they walk in, if it's a new student, tell us what name you want and what gender you want to identify as. And we got a list of 130. Does that not say right away there's something wrong? Is she standing up against that and saying science says there are only two genders? No, she's not. So let's go to Randy Weingarten, who is also considered an expert. And, of course, you know that name. She's head of the American Federation of Teachers, along with the ones that were wanting to lock up our kids and put them in Zoom forever, but later said, no, no, we didn't. Yeah, you did. And she said, what we must not allow is for students and educators to be dragged into bad faith battles over bathroom access. There's no bad faith in it. Again, it's a gender issue. And she said, and participation on sports teams, all an unwelcome distraction from education. Well, then don't allow it. Do not allow it. She said, but the good news is we know it works from research and experience. There's historical federal funding to accelerate learning and start to remedy long-standing inequities. The Biden administration's American Rescue Plan, the Emergency Relief Fund, so these students can have experienced, diverse, certified teachers. So in other words, we're going to teach this stuff to you, even though we're telling you we're not. And don't tell your parents, because then it comes back on us. I tried to get us a guest today on this to give him more time, and we've had him on before, Jay Richards. He's also being quoted in this, believe it or not, a CNN piece. He's a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation with the DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family. And he said it should come as no surprise parents have been fighting for their rights when it comes to public education. They're fighting because they sense those rights are under attack. It started with the lockdowns in 2020. Then they begin to see these online conferencing apps and what they're teaching their kids, and would not share things like civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, you're not to be judged by the color of your skin. He said they weren't sharing that, but they were pushing critical race theory and then radical gender ideology. Teaches children that some people are boys, some are girls, some are both, neither or somewhere in between. He said that is as one popular children's book writes it. He said, is it any wonder this has proved controversial? No, it's not. So I'll give CNN credit for at least giving him some space for his remarks. But the overwhelming remarks were saying, oh, no, we're doing just fine, thank you. But we're going to allow the. It's like when they have a panel on CNN and they have one Republican or might be conservative. The rest of them baring their teeth as Democrats. Coming up, what do you think about euthanasia? Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, here's a story that I know there are going to be some mixed feelings, even among people that are friends of mine and members of my church, in fact. And maybe you, too. I, again, use this program as often as God gives it to me to defend the unborn, protect them, protect the unborn, and protect our children from woke culture. As I said the other day, it's time for the woke to be put to sleep. And this midterm election might help do that. It's like driving a stake into the vampire. We'll see. We'll see if it works. But this coming out of Canada, they have a document created, and doctors are told, you maybe should bring this up to some of your patients if you think they're eligible and it's medically relevant. Those are the terms they use. This is called MAID, M-A-I-D, Medical Assistance in Dying. They say it was created by those who provide medically assisted suicide services, and it claims that doctors not only should bring up euthanasia with their patients, but that they have an obligation to do so. The Canadian association that produced the document claims as long as a doctor is not trying to convince or persuade the patient to end their lives, they can mention it for those who have severe disabilities, serious illnesses, and there's no restriction on doing so. The document, by the way, I'm bringing it up only because it's resurfacing again. It actually got published back in 2019. You might recall we did some stories on it back then, too. And it was public at that point, but here they're trying to say it's only been brought to the public attention this week. I disagree. I'd seen something of this, I don't know if it's 2019, but I'd seen it previously. And they say what we want doctors to do is be aware of their professional responsibilities and accountabilities, and doctors should be willing to, quote, make a compromise on this issue. And they add in the document, it's possible this might be in direct conflict with the physician's personal values, that their general ethical duties include respecting patients' wishes, and where those aren't known, acting in accordance with the patient's values and beliefs, and where they're not known, acting in the patient's best interest, regardless of their own personal values. Now, let me bring you to a point which I've encountered directly. Do you know what a DNR is? It's a do not resuscitate. Some years ago, my father had come down with cancer. He was doing well, and then suddenly took a really, really bad turn. That earlier that day, I was there. I'd flown down to see him. I would have gone down the weekend before, but bad weather, and that was God's timing because I would have missed what happened. I'm there that night with him because I'm giving my mother and brother a break to go home, and I'll stay there today. And that day he had a great day. He walked up and down the hallway, and he was smiling. He was kind of laughing. A friend came to see him. Hadn't seen him in a long time. But that night he began to take a turn for the worse. And they had to intubate him. And I'm trying to help hold him down. He's looking at me with his eyes. I can see just fierce anger burning in me. I couldn't take it. I had to leave the room. And I called one of the doctors, or someone said something about what he's... I said, I've got to get my mother here, keep him alive till she gets it. Do not let anything, you know. Well, when she arrived, she told me, and had not told me before, they had signed a DNR, which means do not resuscitate. Let him go. I didn't know about that. If I'd known about it, I would have followed her wishes because I assumed they had agreed on it together. So we could talk about doctors making a decision for someone and not necessarily encouraging, but saying, you know, there is another option that you don't have to put up with this, and then assisting with it. Physician-assisted suicide. Taking someone off a respirator or something it would amount to the same thing, and yet, in a way, it's not. But if the family decides that's going to be best for their loved one so they won't suffer, it's hard to say that that's a bad decision. We're not talking about an unborn baby coming into the world. We're talking about somebody who's had a life, maybe they've had, it's been shortened because of an accident or whatever, but or a crime, but you just decide it would be better for them in the condition they're in. So don't be so quick to condemn when you hear reports like that. Think it through how it might affect you and your family, or you. All right, let me kind of bring us on another topic that's a little bit brighter and yet at the same time kind of bizarre. How about that? There's a transgender that just made history. this transgender was sentenced for crimes committed both as a man and as a woman on the same day. It happened apparently in the UK. Some of the offenses were committed when Morgan went by Alana, and other times when went by the name Alan, and it ended up at one point urinating in public, shouting incoherently, exposing buttocks, pulling down trousers, and then later being fearful and shouting out that I'm a woman, let me roar, whatever. I mean, but got sentenced both as a man and a woman. I don't know if the terms are going to be served consecutively or the man has to do his first and then the woman, who knows. Should that leave you baffled the rest of the weekend? Good luck with that one. I always appreciate you listening. Let your family and friends know about it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.